Wonderful with where we're going tonight. We stand on what is timeless and true. Look in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to speak for just a few minutes on the subject of mix it up. All right, we're going to mix it up. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Now, remember, we're still an introduction on the book of Hebrews. We're going to take the book of Hebrews here, and we're going to be preaching through it and seeing what God has for us. And the great theme of the book of Hebrews is found in Hebrews chapter 6. Let us go on to perfection. The whole basis of the book of Hebrews is a book of spiritual maturity, that God desires for his children to grow. Listen, if you're not growing, then you're dying. There's only two directions that you can go in the Christian life, and that's growing or that's dying. And we're to grow. What are we to grow in? We're to grow in grace. We're to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're to grow into the image of his son. We're to grow more like Jesus. Well, can I tell you, you can't do that without what they just sang about. You can't do that without the word of God. Remember what the Bible says in 1 Peter? The book of 1 Peter says, being born again, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we were born again by the seed, this incorruptible word. And then he said, those of us that have been born again, he said to us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The Lord wants us to grow, that we henceforth be no more children, that we grow up into the image of him who has saved us. You are to be becoming more like Jesus Christ. Well, you can't unless you mix it up. What are we talking about? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Now, you got to remember, the whole book of Hebrews was written to a bunch of Hebrew believers. These were Jewish people who'd been saved. They were still living in the era and the time of the temple and the priests. They were living in the area around Jerusalem. And they were going through a very difficult time of testing. In fact, they were being tempted to draw back into their old Judaism way. And the writer of Hebrews is warning them, don't draw back. Don't leave your profession of faith. Go on. By faith in Jesus Christ, it's going to be difficult. You have to endure. Remember, we talked about that last Sunday. You have to endure. You have to live in patience. Enduring. Enduring. And you'll grow. And he said, let's go on to perfection. And what he's telling them is he reminds them of their Old Testament forefathers. That they came across Jordan. Joshua took them into the land of Canaan, but they didn't find rest. They found a national rest from the wilderness, but they didn't find a spiritual rest. And the reason they didn't find a spiritual rest is found for us in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse number 1. Watch this. Let us therefore, he's talking about entering into the rest of God, entering into the spiritual growth of Canaan land living, of victorious Christian living. He said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Hey, did you know that the Old Testament saints heard the gospel too? They did. They heard the good news. But watch this. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, you have to hear the word of God, and then it must be mixed with faith. And the word of God, mixed with faith, is profitable and brings growth to the Christian. And so many Christians hear the word, and they never mix it with faith. You know, the other day, I was walking through the store. We live in such an instant age, don't we? I was walking through the store and I saw instant potatoes. Look, that's not even real. Take potatoes and mix them with milk or with water and boom, you got potatoes. Ugh. Then I saw powdered milk. I thought, man, take water and put it in powder and you've got milk. No, you don't. You got powdered water. You got powdered grits. take powder, add water, and you got grits. No, you don't. I don't know what that stuff is. That's paste is what that is. That's Elmer's glue. It's paper mache. What really disturbed me is when I saw baby powder. I thought, boy, we've come a long way. Sweetheart, you didn't have to go through those 9 months. We could have just bought this, mixed it with water and Viola, you know. Got a youngin. I thought, man, this instant age has got to stop. But, you know, we got all this stuff you just mix. You just mix it up and there it is. The other night for a harvest festival, I made some cookies. How many of you got some of the cookies that I made? Well, weren't those delicious? Somebody say amen right there. Those weren't Nestle Toll House. Those weren't just out of a little bag. I mixed those, flour and sugar and brown sugar and baking soda and some salt and a little sprinkle, some magic I put in there anyway. And that's the only thing I fix. That's the only thing I fix is cookies. And I taught my wife how to bake bake cookies. But, you know, you had to put all that stuff in there and mix it all up. You had to mix it all up, put it in the oven, and boy, out come some good cookies. I was trying to fix something one day at my house, a little plumbing issue I had. And Brother Bill Blasiola gave me this stuff. And he said, now look, when you get home, he said, you take this red one and this green one and you mash them together. He said, then you got to work quick because it gets hot. And I got home and I mashed it together and I got more intrigued about how that worked. And I never did get that thing fixed. He still had to come fix it for me. I was curious about the compound of taking this thing and mashing it together, and you'd have this heat and it created some kind of a putty and a bond and a strong and something strong. And I got to thinking about that. That so many times we Christians are living beneath our privilege as a Christian, and we're living powerless and we're not growing. And it's not for lack of hearing the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We're just not mixing it up. We're not mixing it in by faith, with faith, and putting it into the use in our day-to-day life where the Word of God becomes potent. And it becomes something that brings us into profit. We're not living a profitable life. Now, I want to say that it is done by faith. By faith. Look over, if you will, at chapter 6 and verse 12. This is one of the things that you're going to find as a theme all the way through the book of Hebrews. Look at 6:12. The Bible says that ye be not. Now, here he just said that he wants us to leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ and go on to perfection. He wants us to grow to spiritual maturity. And he says in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, there's that word again, endurance, inherited the promises. How did they get the promises of God? They took the promises of God and they mixed it with faith. Look at chapter 10 and verse 22. The Bible's telling us that we have a new way to come to the Father. We have a new way to God through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Look at verse number 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And then he jumps into chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now he gives us the whole chapter of faith. He gives us the great, we call it, I like to refer to it, chapter 11, as the hall of faith. You see all the way through there, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Now let me tell you what the Bible's telling us here. The Bible's telling us simply this, that true biblical faith has to be mixed with the Word of God that we hear, or it will not become profitable to us. If we take the Word of God that we hear and we mix it up with faith, it has a potency then. The Word of God mingled with faith has a potency that begins to grow in the life of the believer. And man, it's a wonderful thing, the fruitfulness that comes from it. True biblical faith is not emotional or wishful thinking. It is an inner conviction that is based on the Word of God. Jot this verse down, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The Bible's going through, Paul's explaining in Romans chapter 10, he's explaining some great principles of the Christian life. And he says in chapter 10 and verse 17, he says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's a supernatural work. When the Word of God is heard, the Spirit of God takes that word and produces with it in the life of the believer the faith to put in that word, and there forms a conviction. There comes a conviction. Listen, there's a lot of things that a lot of Christians say they believe, but when the rubber meets the road and the tribulations come and the trials come and the persecution comes, they really don't believe it. Jesus talked about that back in the Gospels when he said, some of you that are hearing what I'm saying, you're kind of like a man who went out and sowed seed, and he sowed his seed, and some fell among stony ground. You're not even receiving the word that I'm saying. But some of you, you're like a guy who received that word. You've heard the word of God, but you've received it into some stony ground. And he said, it'll take root and it'll spring up for a minute. But he said, as soon as the heat of the day, persecution or tribulation comes, it withers away and it falls. It wasn't a conviction. Some are also like the one that fell into thorny ground. And as the word of God gets into the thorny ground of our life, it jumps up and starts growing. And we see a man start flourishing as a Christian. And then all of a sudden, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, all sorts of other things begin to strangle the lifeblood out of that believer. Because they heard the word, but they didn't mingle it with faith. He said, but that good ground goes deep. And when the word of God falls in it, it is mingled with faith. And it takes root. The word of God then takes root into the fertile ground of faith. And it becomes conviction. And thereby it jumps up and it becomes fruitful. Now listen, we got to mix it up. That's why before you plant a garden, you get a tiller out there. And you put that tiller down in there and you break that ground up and you get it loosened up. What are you doing? You're giving that seed opportunity to root. Well, that's what a heart of faith is. A heart of faith has been cultivated by the Holy Spirit so that when the Word of God falls on it, it can take root and it'll spring up with rooted, grounded, steadfast, unmovable. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf also shall not wither, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is he? He's rooted, he's grounded, he's steadfast, he's unmovable. Why? He had it mixed up with faith. See, these old believers in the book of in the Old Testament, they heard the word of God, but they didn't mix it with faith. When they saw the giants, they said, those giants are too big for us. Now, they heard the word of God, that God had given that land, but they didn't mix that word with faith. You see? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Don't think that faith is just wishful thinking or working up some emotion and saying, oh, okay, I hope this is true. No. It is the word of God coming in, mingle with steadfast faith in that word of God, and produces a conviction in the life of a Christian that is unmovable. The Bible calls in the book of Hebrews faith substance. Now, faith is the substance. That word substance means assurance. Let's all say that together. Substance means assurance. Substance is assurance. And it is the evidence. Evidence means proof. So it is all evidence means what? Proof. Let's say it together. Evidence means? And substance means? So faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the proof of things not seen. You see, when you hear the word of God, look at me. When you hear the word of God and you mingle that word with faith, the Holy Spirit produces that faith in the life of the believer that makes the believer totally assured. And that faith itself is the proof that it is true. It's not wishful thinking. It's not some emotional thinking. It is bedrock conviction that God said it And it's mingled with faith, and it's sure. When the Holy Spirit gives us that faith through the Word of God, the presence of that faith is literally the assurance and the proof that we need. Somebody asked me, well, how do you believe the world came into existence? I say, God created it. They say, yeah, but prove it. My faith. Faith is the proof. And faith is the assurance and the substance of it. You say, yeah, but that's not enough for me. I say, well, how do you think it came into existence? Well, through evolutionary processes, through the Big Bang. And I say, prove it. And you have to say, well, Darwin said. You see, it all comes back to your faith. You have to believe what somebody else said or another textbook. I'm believing not the textbook of Darwin, but the textbook of the Word of God. Amen. And so I'm simply saying, we need to mix it up. We need to take the Word of God that we know and mix it with faith. Let me give this to you. J. Oswald Sanders, a great preacher, said this: faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Let me say that again. He said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Listen, is heaven real to you? It ought to be. Is the Lord real to you? He ought to be. You say, I can't see him. Oh, but by faith we can. By faith we can. Take his word, mix it with faith, and you'll see the unseen, and you'll know the future. Let me give you four simple statements that I think will help you as a believer to mix up your word with faith. The Word of God with faith, and it'll help you. Number one, God works through faith and faith alone. The only way God works is through the basis of faith. God works through faith and faith alone. Look, you're never going to see God work in a mighty way in your life until you step out by faith in his word. You're never going to see the great promises of God come to pass in your life. There are some right now that are struggling. You're struggling with a certain sin in your life. You have a sin that doth so easily beset you. You've been brought into the captivity of that sin. You don't want to do it, but you have no more power over it. Now it has power over you. You'd give everything in your bank account if you could. You'd go to any rehab. You'd go to any kind of session. You'd take any kind of counseling. You'd do whatever you could to get that sin off of your shoulders. And yet the Bible says, how shall we that are dead to sin remain any longer therein? Henceforth, sin shall not have dominion over us. The Bible says that we ought not be brought into the power of it, that we ought to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ. They that have been buried with Christ have been buried with him by baptism into his death and raised to walk in newness of life. He simply told us in Romans chapter 6, we have power over sin, not through willpower. We don't have power over sin through courage and just through absolute sheer determination. We have power over sin through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And by faith, we recognize it and we say, okay, Lord, I'm putting your death, burial, and resurrection to account in my life. Your death means that sin has no power over me. And Lord, I confess it as sin. I put it under the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is dead to me and I am dead to it. And then yield your members as instruments of righteousness. Now look, you're hearing that and you're hearing it, but if you'll mix it with faith, it'll become solid. God only works through faith and faith alone. Number two statement. Exercising faith is the only way to please him. Exercising faith is the only way to please him. Let me read it again for you in case you've misunderstood the word of God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, God was not pleased with the people, his children in the wilderness, because they were wandering in doubt when they should have been conquering in faith. Did you hear what I just said? They were wandering in doubt when they should have been conquering in faith. Many Christians are in bondage and enslaved and trapped in a wilderness of their own doubt when they could be enjoying the pleasures of victory and faith. You have to exercise faith. It's the only way you please God. I believe that a Christian tonight who is not living by faith in God's word is not able to please the Lord. Now you listen to me. Everything you do needs to be done by faith. You need to go to work tomorrow by faith. Total dependence on God. You need to go trusting His Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Trusting His word to give you victory over the evil one and temptation. And then when you get in the middle of temptation, exercise faith. And say to that temptation, say to that sin, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will with this temptation make a way of escape. I may be able to bear it, and the escape is through the power of Jesus Christ. Sin, you have no power over me. These hands that you want to use for wickedness, they belong to Jesus. And by faith, I'm yielding them to Him in righteousness. Does everybody understand that? That's exercising faith. There are some, you're not exercising faith in your giving. You got to exercise faith in giving. You got to take your financial gain, and you got to put it in the Lord's hand and live by faith. So I want to say, number one, God works through faith and faith alone. God is not going to work in your life outside of the scope of faith. If you want God to work in your life, believe Him. And then exercise that faith and you'll please Him. Number three, faith is a gift from God through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Faith is a gift of God through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Listen, some people say, well, preacher, I want to have more faith. Well, are you reading your Bible? No, I'm not. Well, that's like saying, I want to hear the news. Well, do you have the radio on? No. Well, turn the radio on and you'll hear the news. I want faith. Well, read the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, your faith, is not of yourselves. It, your faith, is the gift of God. God gives you the gift of faith to put back into His word, and thereby you please Him and you become a conqueror. The Christian needs to understand, you and I need to understand, that it is the gift of God. It is not conjuring up some kind of belief. Well, there are some people that, you know, there are people who misunderstand this doctrine of faith. They think they have to work up faith, and they just tell people, well, if you believe hard enough, and boy, people are like, well, I'm really believing. That is not how it works. It's not conjuring up and just working it up. Faith is not something that you work up. Faith is something you rest on. Did you hear what I just said? Faith is not something you work up. Faith is something you rest on. I am resting tonight. I'm resting tonight in the power of Jesus Christ. I have made no provision. Now get this right now. I have made no provision for my soul. By any labor, by any work, I've made none. I've made no provision for my soul. And if I die tonight and Jesus is not the way, I am doomed. Because I have taken everything that is me and I have laid it in the bosom of Jesus Christ. And when I get before God, I'm going to have to say with the songwriter, nothing in my hands I bring. I've brought nothing. I've brought no work. I've brought no effort. I've brought nothing. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. By faith, God is pleased by that. He only works in the scope of faith. It's the only way to please Him. And faith is God's gift to you through His word. Do you know, can I tell you something? Some of you are going to face some things tomorrow that are only going to be conquered by faith. But we won't read His word before we go. You're going to face a temptation that only faith. And God has given you tomorrow morning the gift of faith in His word. And we won't read it before we go. We spent no time with Him. We didn't hear. There were things preached today that would have been from God's word that would have given, it was God's gift to give somebody faith to get through something they're going through, and they didn't come. And they missed the gift. God only works in the scope of faith. It's the only way you can please him. And thereby, since God is a gracious God, he provides then the means by which to please him and the means by which he can operate in your life. Is everybody with me tonight? Number four, and lastly. I said, first of all, God works through faith and faith alone. I said, second of all, exercising faith is the only way to please him. Number three, faith is a gift from God through the word of God and the Spirit. And let me just put a pin in this for just a second. And I'll put a pin in point four and come to it in just a second. That's why everything you do, every decision you make needs to be based on faith in God's word. Do you know I did not come to Hattiesburg, Mississippi on a whim and an emotion? I came to Hattiesburg, Mississippi on the word of God. God gave me a verse of scripture. When I prayed about what to come for, Lord, should I go? Should I go? I don't know whether this is something I should do. I'm hearing all kinds of things. I've heard from some that this church is a wonderful church. I've heard from others that it's not so wonderful. I've had some reach out to me and say, I heard that you came to that church. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I had others say, man, well, it's a wonderful group of people. And I said, Lord, I don't know, but you know. And you know them and you know me. And I want to be in the center of your will. And God gave me this. God gave me Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I read that verse and the Holy Spirit took that verse, mingled it with faith in my heart, and by conviction, I came to this city, knowing that I was in the center of God's will. Look, some of you are going to just up and move because it looks pleasant on the other side. And you'll move, but you won't move by faith. Well, can I tell you something? God doesn't operate outside of faith, and you can't please him outside of faith. Before you do anything in your life, you better get with the Lord and get his word and mix it up with some faith and let God make it bedrock. Number four, and lastly, faith is always tested. Faith is always tested. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 that the trial of your faith. Hey, listen, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. I'll tell you, the teacher at the end of the year who doesn't want his students put to the test or her students put to the test knows in their heart that they were not faithfully teaching. But any teacher who knows that they executed the teaching, they say, hey, ask anything you want. I want to show you what my kids know. They know it. Why? Because they've done the work. That it can be tested. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And so God wants to take this faith and his word and say, okay, now let's put it to the test. And watch this, when you do that, it refines it and even makes it more secure, more tempered, more firm. The things in my life that I have taken in that word and I have, listen, in these 11 and a half years or more that I've been in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I came here by faith. Can I tell you something? Do you know that it's been tested a lot? I didn't have any gray hair when I came. It's been tested. But let me tell you something. The things that I stepped out by faith to do for the Lord, when God tested me, it proved me. And not only did it prove me, but it proved him. And it hardened my resolve in God's word that God is sure and his word is sure. And I can stand on it. I can bank on it. I can rest in it. We have a sure foundation, but you have to mix it with faith. Sometimes it seems foolish to trust God. You know, it seems foolish for me to trust God sometimes. I'm talking to some folks from Mississippi, and they're talking in a way that I don't talk. And then I think about this, Lord, I'm not talking the way they talk, and I don't talk the way they talk. I don't think they can understand me. I think maybe my messages are going over everybody's head. Maybe my messages are falling flat at their feet. Maybe they don't understand this guy from the mountains. But listen, there's sometimes it seems foolish to trust God. It seems foolish. Lord, why would you take a fellow from Colorado who prayed about going to Seattle and send him to Hattiesburg? Can anybody in this church give me a witness on why that makes sense? And yet, sometimes it seems foolish to trust the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when you trust him, that faith in the end conquers. Amen. Here's the thing. We start reading through Hebrews 11, and we see by faith, Moses. Wow. By faith, Abraham. Wow. By faith, Joshua. Wow. We read that, and here's what we think. Here's what you think. I know what you think. I've been there. I've heard you think it. Here's what you think. Boy, God took those great people and did great things by faith with them. Wrong. God took normal people, just like you and just like me, who mixed faith with God's word, and a great God did great things with normal people by faith. Sometimes we get to look and think, boy, you know, if I was a great man like Moses, I could, oh, listen, Moses wasn't a great man. He was just like you. I wish that tonight I could get you to understand that everything God does, he does by faith. And faith comes from this book. It's not an external thing that we have to come somehow work up in our heart. It's where we take his word and we put it to use. Some of you young men right here, some of you young ladies at Central Baptist Church, God will use you. God can use you to change a city, to build a church, to reach the world for Christ. If you just get a hold of some promises and mix it up with faith. Not be afraid to step out by faith and go to places unknown. To go to those places that you can only see. Some people say to me, how in the world can you stand it with your girls? Look, we did this by faith. We didn't do this unseen. We did it through the eyes of faith. The invisible became seen. The future became the present by faith. Amen. I want to challenge you tonight. Let's mix what we've heard with faith that God gives us in his word and let God do great things. Father, I pray tonight that you'll bless